John.
Merrill Lee.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Accomplished today.
You are.
Yes.
You are pretty accomplished. But you're always accomplished.
Well, thank you. So what are you doing?
Sitting here looking at my brand new 24-inch Dell screen. And my brand new Dell, whatever it is, telling me that it can't find an HDMI signal from my computer. I am so pissed. I can't believe it.
Ugh. Computer problems.
Jesus. I mean, you know, this is the second computer I've purchased in the last week. I've got almost $1,000 invested in this goddamn project. Okay. Anyway,
don't they have
that's
like
technology, which is inert. I'm sure they do. Yeah, right. I have a lot of patience for that.
I know.
You know, thank you for calling, and you may experience longer than waits.
Right.
Usual wait times. If you'd like to leave your number, might be a call back. Blah 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 blah. God. I'm fine. I'm great. Perfect.
I'll just, perfect. You know, hang on. Yeah. Our ability to not meant to do this right now. I'm looking for notes. That's why it's more time.
Your story in Cracking the Rich Code is fabulous, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good.
Well,
and of course, being on the cover is nice. I mean, that's a nice touch that they put you on the cover as the featured author.
It's been quite an honor to be part of, you know, project. I've been in quite a few and a lot of amazing people with stories and stuff in there. And it's been good.
Yeah. I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. If I didn't realize how wonderful you are, I'd be jealous. But I can't be jealous of any of your success. That is just, you're just too good. You know what I mean? I'd be a fool to be jealous of you. You're just too wonderful.
Oh, well,
God.
Well, it was a pleasure writing that story. It really was. Because it's obviously two parts. There's two parts to it. The point is, you know, how I got here, and it's happens when you do love. Yeah, you know, I had the honor of you.
Yeah,
as my friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, made me feel good.
Oh, good.
Made me feel good.
Sure good. Did. You deserve made it.
So
it's what I do.
You got a busting. Your schedule's breaking up. Your signal's going south.
Huh? What about now?
Better. I can hear you.
Okay.
Yep, I can hear you.
Interesting. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I really wanted to do that for, you know, because it's just a continuation from all the other stories that I've written in the other books, because they're all about love. But it's, to me, if we're following the stories, ends with the esoteric entrepreneur, and then I'm talking about personality, right? And I'm giving all of that, and that personality, that's in your second gate in the game. But of course, the reader doesn't know that yet.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, you read the game.
How many, you've been in four, five? How many you been in?
Four. Yeah, this is number four.
Four, okay.
Yeah, I'm very, very fortunate to, you know, have my name on four of them. And we got a new cover.
Yeah. Cover's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
That's nice.
Gamut cover. And yeah, I mean, Jim has plans for this to go for a very long time. And There's so many good connections in there, and you know, and it serves everyone, because when you're reading the book, you get everyone's contact. So it's like the perfect business book. If you're looking for someone to help you with, just go to the book. Everybody's contact is in there.
So it's a resource. It's not just a read. It's an ongoing resource.
That's right.
That's great.
Yep. Yeah, collect them all.
Well, impressive. That's
Thank you.
all I can say. It's
Yeah.
impressive. I mean, I don't. It's like, I mean, it's like, I don't know. Just pleasure to have you around. Pleasure to know you.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Yes,
Every day, Sean
every
Merrily, every
day.
day. That's what we say every day. Here we are
A
talking
bit
across the
consuming,
backyard fence.
right?
I
Yeah.
was, yeah. I mean, it was like I thought the other day with Really Charlie. It was a good ratification of who we are. When he was talking about this very podcast, about, it's like we're over the backyard fence. We're just talking on the porch, you and me. We're just talking. We're just be talking. There's no script. We're not scripted. We have no idea what we're going to do, other than sometimes. Well, the script is, when we say, "Well, your signal's breaking up." That's part of the script.
Right. Well, I mean, it's in the description. You know, we're just talking. We warn people first. We're just
Well,
talking, okay?
yeah.
And we're letting you listen. Yeah, so we never know where it's going to go. And but to your point about, you know, every day merrily, it is consuming. And the reason why it's consuming is because it feels good. It's love. Who doesn't want to do that every single day?
But yeah, of course I agree with that. But I mean, people are catching on to how just to the there's a must be there must be a frequency about our conversations or about just in general between people. It must give off. I mean, you were talking about that, I think, one other time about how we are our bodies are communicating, our essence communicates with the
Yep.
universe,
That's right.
and it's we're giving off these signals all the time, and it's coming back. It's like this
Yeah.
constant communication.
I know.
And I think that as I listen to people talk, and I'm really surprised because I'm not used to that, but if I listen to people talk about how we talk and how
Yeah.
it affects them, I'm just stunned. It's like it's so wonderful. But it's like, yeah, of course it's great. I mean, I don't know what to say, this is the first time in my life knowing you, I have been stumped for an answer more than once. I mean, people say these wonderful things, and I'm saying, what? Wait, what? God, is this really happening?
Do you mean? Like
Well, I mean,
what?
just the projection that we're putting out there, the making people feel good.
Oh.
Allowing people to feel good about themselves, discussing the game, your book, discussing how to get it done, discussing, talking, telling stories. I mean, I don't know what to say. I'm just completely flabbergasted. But the success of our podcast, I'm just taken back. I mean, yesterday you and I, and my press, actually, my publisher, we dominated the opening page of Spotify. We dominated the opening page. I mean,
I don't know how that
your
works.
picture, yeah, we are
Okay.
the cover of the opening page of Spotify. I'm thinking, wait a minute, it's like the accidental success. I mean, this is a total accidental success. But do you believe that? I guess, well, everything's a design, is it, huh?
Accidental? Happenstance? No.
Coincidental? What's the word?
Delivered.
A deliberate success.
No, it's delivered, it's promised.
Oh, I see. Delivered. Yeah, that would be sure. Of course, that's right. You've got this through line to God. I keep forgetting about. I forgot about that.
It just from oh, I know. I was thinking yesterday, remember we were talking about the gold coin?
Yes.
Remember when you were saying, and I started to think about that later. I'm like, the gold, no. I mean, I knew it wasn't right when you said it. I'm like, no. Because I wasn't looking for you. I didn't even spot you to pick you up. I didn't do any of that. If anything, I was in the boat, right? Just drifting along, and you were out there at sea, just floating along, and got in my boat.
I'm not
I don't know who
stupid.
you
I'm not stupid.
And you're, I mean, you don't know who I am, and I don't know who you are, but now we're in the boat together, and it works.
That's a nice analogy. That works, yeah. Because that's really what happened. And was that's
Right.
really how it happened. I mean, that's a great description, really.
Right.
You forgot the part about where I got in your boat and shook off like a golden retriever.
Oh,
Boom.
gosh.
Yeah,
I had to say, John, sit down, John. Just
I
relax. Oh, what are we going to do? We're going to talk about love. I know. I know. After I was feeling good about my chapter and, everything is done, the picture's done, all that stuff. And I walked outside and immediately there was a hawk. And I just felt like, yeah,
It's your
that's
bird.
my.
That's your bird. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a confirmation every time. Like, it's a hug. Confirmation. I said, thank
Well,
you.
and a penny too. Yeah, a penny once in a while.
A lot. I didn't find a penny, or a penny didn't land, I should say. But it's just those, what are the chances of me just walking out and it's there he is.
Well, we talked about that a minute ago, but I think that's the communication thing again. That's the signal going out. I think people forget that about the electromagnetism of your body and about how it can generate a signal and how there's an aura around your body and how we connect. And all that relates to consciousness, perhaps. There's certainly people that have wired bodies up for a while to see how the signals generate. And there's a signal. Of course, there's a signal. There's a signal in everything. Speaking of that, I just found a penny. I can't believe that.
You did.
I just put my hand down.
Oh. Yep, confirmation.
Wow.
You didn't even have to move.
2022. 2022 Lincoln. Huh.
You didn't even
How
have to.
about that? No. Oh, wow. Anyways, I was talking about that. We were talking about that. Yeah, I'm going to put this over here in my thing. I mean, everything's going really well, other than now I just got some Bagliati coffee things that are the wrong size. And that's not good. I have this thing that says one friend can change your whole life, and there's a penny behind it. I'm going to put a penny in that right there. Remember that?
I sure do. I sure do. A lot of things to where we have built.
Yeah. You got to move again. I don't know what's going on this morning, but we got signal problems.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can, yeah. How far are you moving?
Weird.
Are you moving or are you just
No. If
just
cut out.
dropped again. The signal just dropped again. Yeah, it's coming. It's like you're in a and it distorts
What about
somehow. I
that?
don't know.
See, I can't hear you.
Not at all? No?
Now, I think something's going on with our internet, is what I think.
Well, probably is.
Yeah, there's it's hard to connect. It, you know, average I have to go through it like four times before I actually connect to you.
Well, I mean, that's happening around us. I mean, we can certainly discuss that, you know,
Right.
about the anomalies that are going on all over the world. And we may be just wrapped up in one of them.
Right. Well,
We don't talk about that very often, but it's just, you know, it's there's things, there's change everywhere.
right. It definitely has changed. And I can just tell with, like, you know, your internet thing, or when I'm on a call, my call will drop. And it's like, and then the phone just totally malfunctions. It'll just drop and I can't get through. I can't dial. I can't hang up. I can't do anything. And then it
Yeah,
just won't
but
connect.
I don't think that's insidious. I think that's just an overall problem that we have, you know, with something as crazy as, you know, changing the magnetism of the planet or the distance of the moon to the Earth or how Mars is rotating. I think there's a lot of things that influence us here.
Think we're changing over. Our system's changing over. And
I think
that's
so too. I
yeah.
think it is. I mean, I've had a hard time believing that in the past. It's becoming more and more believable all the time. In concert with, like, I will be reading, I read The River of Life, which is a book written by Native Americans, Indians, about the history of 12 tribes in Washington. And these guys, I mean, these guys talk to nature. I know you talk to nature. I don't think you have any native background in you, but you talk to nature, you know.
I would say I listen.
Yeah, you don't talk back?
Not really. What do I
Yeah,
have to
try
say that's
it.
important? Yeah, but what do
Yeah,
I
try
have to
it.
say that's important? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, so far you've had a hell of a lot to say. It's important. I mean, just all you have to do is read books, you know, look at the media.
Okay, but I mean, but that's, and nature doesn't need to know anything I know. I need to know everything nature knows.
Try it. Walk up to a tree this afternoon and say, "Do you know who I am? Do you have an idea who I am?" You know, say, "I've been listening to you talk to me for years, and now you're here. Your turn."
It's, you know, it's really worthwhile though. I mean, I highly recommend to anybody, just listen. Listen to nature. Listen to the birds. Listen, know that everything is communicating around us, and our frequency just isn't high enough to tune in. But when you elevate and you know, you can capture those messages. So when I say, you know, well, the tree told me that, you know, well, that's, I mean, literally all these things, I got this information from the ether. You know, you're tuning in, and it's quite amazing when it happens. And it sticks.
Do you have any difference? Is there any difference in your conversation with nature between new and old nature, like fresh and not fresh? Spring versus fall, winter? Always the
No,
same?
it's always just being in, you know, in like it. You're just in it. Wherever you are, you're just in it. You're trying to be one with it. So it doesn't really matter what season it is. You're just one with it, with that energy field.
How about odor? How about standing in a bush of flowers and you're smelling them? Does that help?
Does it help? Help what?
Well, just help the communication. I mean, you get another sense, you know, you get a sensory smell.
But you know what? You're not. It's not like that. You're not trying to use your physical attributes to connect. You're just allowing. You're just literally
Well,
letting
can't you?
go of everything that you think you are to be one with all that is.
So you can't reach out and grab them. You got to let them you come to you. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, for example, you know, me and the trees. I've gotten a lot of messages from the trees. And there's one tree in particular that is hanging over the sidewalk where I walk the dogs. And I'll stop and just allow the tree to just like hang on my head and just wait. I don't
So,
ask. I don't, there's nothing. I just wait.
and the tree is touching you.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. And different,
I
I
mean, this
mean,
may be hard to get your arms around this, but I mean, I'm not you, but I mean people. But I understand that. I understand that. I've been oh, there's all sorts of play, like water, wind, elevation, trees, special trees. And so what is it? What happens? How long do you stand there?
It's intuitive. You know, you just stand there until it's like you feel like you're done. And that message may not come to you in that moment.
So the tree isn't always interested in you necessarily.
Yeah, it may not have anything to say to me. It sounds really crazy. I know. I get it.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
No?
It doesn't
Okay.
sound crazy at all.
All
Not to
right.
me, it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean,
So yeah, okay. I'm disagreeing with you.
Yeah, remember that day when I was so excited when I was walking the dogs out in at the park, and it's like just a big open grassy park and huge eucalyptus trees and stuff. And I'm just walking along and I look up the sky and all of a sudden, bam, it just hit me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just got confirmation about the firmament. Remember the mirror?
I remember, yeah, I do remember that.
And the mirror is reflecting everything that we say, do, think. This is the universe responding. So it's like if you know that you are imprinting the firmament with your words and your thoughts, your fears, your limitations, all of that stuff, it's coming right back and it's becoming true. Be super, super careful what it is you're putting out.
But I mean, are you seeing the firmament as a mechanical process in this conversation, in that sense?
It's just a mirror. It's the waters above, just like it's a
Yeah,
reflection in the pool.
I know how I understand
Yeah.
the format of the firmament and the reflective nature of all that. But I mean, I would then. Okay.
That's, I mean, literally how we can create our own world. So when we think we can't get out of our situation, you know, whatever we're facing, it's not true. It's unlimited. Just look up and reflect what it is you want to see.
Do you need a process? I understand that our minds are bigger than we are, all right, at this point. The hive brain is bigger than we are. And so to utilize it, there's it's very expansive because you can just keep going and going. So using the firmament or the reflection or whatever as an example, and then going back to the things like the speed of light, like superposition versus the speed of light and so on. As I sit, as I put, see, I go through all that in my mind about the speeds and the this and that, and I sit and look at the night sky, and I realize that what I am seeing in the night sky could be 20 billion years old at the speed of light. So I'm seeing way into the past. Way into the past. There's nothing even close to the future that I'm seeing or the
Right,
present.
but you're
Nothing.
looking at it as if it's outside of you because it's the past, you're looking at it, you're observing it, the it. But if we change our perspective from being out there, the it, like God, and realize that. No, we're looking at us. What you see, no matter how old the star is or how, you know, what you see is what you are.
But isn't that sort of a convenient way to get through that, the reality of science? That you can just set that aside? I mean, there's space and time and gravity and perception of time and speed and mass. mean, doesn't any of that apply to having a conversation with God?
No. Those are man's again, what?
Our well, I just love how matter of fact, how matter of fact you are.
Yeah.
I'll come up with a paragraph of, don't you think? No. Yeah, well, that didn't go very far. Let's try this one.
Well, maybe that's how I wrote my book. Very concise. Here's the answer. Well, and I mean, I'm because as you're explaining it, right, I'm thinking about the scientist who's looking under a microscope. Let's say he's got a coin under the microscope, right? And he's trying to really understand what is creating the microscope and what the properties are and all this stuff. And I come around and I just pick up the coin and put it in my pocket and say, thank you, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, while you're studying it, I'm going to use it.
Okay. No, I think that's, I mean, that's cute. I mean, that's nice.
Yeah. And he goes home and he's unhappy.
I mean, that's part of the fun of talking to you is that you can take very complicated issues and turn them into, you know, just, okay. All right. Next.
Right. Well, because that's the beauty of the simplicity of love. We make it much too difficult, too complex, too hard. You know, it's like, let go. That's the hardest part, is letting go.
I could just see you. I have this vision of you walking into the control room for the Hadron Collider. You know, there's 45 scientists sitting there trying to figure this out. And you walk in, you know, and say, and just stand there, but just you're listening. They look up at you and say, and you say, no, he's not here. He's not here. He's not here today. I'll be back tomorrow. Goodbye. You
know? No, they look at me and go, what do you think?
Yeah.
This is absolute arrogance. I mean,
you're like the female Lone Ranger. I mean, you know, just walk in. I could be Tonto, I guess. I run around, hold your, you know, tender your horse.
Well, you know, it may seem like really arrogant because there's so many facets, right? People can pick a facet to our existence and science and why we're here and, you know, whatever the perspective is. So to think that my way is the only way is pretty arrogant. But it's not my way. It's the way. It's the way. Jesus says, I am the way. It's the way. It's not merely. It's the way.
But does your way have any weight in popular science?
I could prove it. I don't think anybody's looking at me, but I could prove it.
Carry on. I'm listening.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if somebody were to put me under the microscope to see what the heck's going on, I just do what I do and they can, you know, make me the coin and see what the heck's going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever been wired up that way? Have you ever been wired up that way?
Nope. I mean, I know you have. I know you have. I don't have anybody like that to do that. And quite honestly, I don't know if I'd want to do that.
I don't know if I'd want to do it again either. Maybe I would. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Somebody once posted on Facebook. They're like, Marilee, I'd love to know your IQ. And it set me back from it. I'm like, really? I don't think it's that big. I mean, that great.
Oh, I think that's a, I think IQ is a terribly overrated thing.
Yeah.
That's all part of the box that science has had us in for decades.
Yeah.
I don't think it means anything, really. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a lot of states now that are dropping the bar exam to practice law. I think that's just dandy, you know. It's a practicum. You learn how to practice law. To pass the test, so what?
Well, it's a club.
It makes it a club. Yeah. But the practice of law is the practice of law. And there's no reason, if you've got the right kind of the proper kind of instructional process, the test is a waste of time. It's
Yeah, but they're
I
not
think
teaching
trans.
you, not teaching you law. They're teaching you legalese.
Well, that's the problem. That's why it's a, that's I think that's why it's a waste of time. I think that anything that's transactional in the universe, transactional stuff is a waste of time. It's the burn rate that's too high. We don't need transactional. We need thought. We need process. And transaction is not process. Transaction is binary. And binary, the world runs on binary, but it doesn't mean you have to think that way. You know, just take advantage of it. I've got to stop saying, you know. I was listening to myself the other day. I say, you know, all the time. Have you noticed I say, you know, all the time?
No,
Have
I
you
don't
not
think
brought?
so.
Oh, I think I do. You know this, you know that. Bad habit. So.
Now we're all aware of it. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't even thought about it. I'm just
But
trying to
you're,
listen to your point.
well, my point, I'm not sure I'm making a point other than I don't like transactional education. I wrote a book about it, so obviously I don't like it. You know, I
So
think it's,
give us an example.
well, in the, I'm a what they call an examiner for the International Baccalaureate in Cardiff, where we focus on thought as opposed to transaction. We don't give tests as such. We ask questions to let students write down answers. The world according to the student, based on the question. It can be an international politics, and they're long answers. So then we have people like me that sit like a committee and discuss this stuff. So I have this guy who's in charge of me in Cardiff. Who's my guy, you know, my boss, so to speak. So I'm reading the student's papers, and the boss sends me his idea of a perfect answer, his idea. I read the student's answer. I write the boss, I say, boss, the student's answer is better than yours.
That's great.
The boss is not happy with that.
But did
You
he
know.
agree after reading it?
Well, he couldn't get past the transactional part of his authority.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's what's wrong with these guys. They're so puffed up about themselves, they can't ex let anybody else in.
Okay, so I'm gonna make that personal to me. If I don't let you in, if my definition of love is the absence of pain, who's going to challenge that? Am I open to somebody else's definition? Does it seem right or does it not seem right?
Well, I don't think you could apply that to the same circumstance. I mean,
Well,
I obviously your definition is clean. I mean, it's clean. It's scrubbed. So
yeah.
you can't deny your definition because it's scrubbed. It's already scrubbed. What I'm
Yeah,
talking about is a
but if I'm holding it as this is the definition of love, and until we understand it, we don't get it. We won't be able to operate within it. So if a student comes in and says, "Yeah, but Mary Lee, this is what I think the definition of love is," will I be open to that definition?
Well, sure, of course you will be. Doesn't mean you have to accept it, but you have to be open to it. That's just the social contract of civil procedure. You're open to everybody's conversation. You have to be.
Right.
Otherwise, everything stops.
Absolutely.
But in
But
your
I'm,
case,
yeah.
you know, you're, I mean, you end run everything so fast. It's just like I wrote about yesterday. I mean, you know, I think I called you crack shot Merrill Lee. You know, I'm always pushing my shot to the left. I always push my shot. Goes right into the money room every time. Boom. You know.
Yeah.
And, you know, there you go. You're so good in your definition of things that you almost have to be careful that you allow flawed material to get in, so you can at least talk about it.
Absolutely.
You really do. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, with that definition, there can only be questions. Not really a dispute, but a question. What do you mean love is the absence of pain? What do you mean by that? You can't deny it.
No, you can't deny it. If you think about it for, you know, a nanosecond, you figured out that it's correct.
Yeah.
Because it just applies. It's a unilateral, it's a bilateral appliance to everything you do. I understand that. I understand that. But I'm talking a broader context of social exchange where, you know, if people go after you on social media, for example, and they challenge you and they virtually attack you for being an infidel, for not believing how they believe.
Right.
They cut you no slack at all. They just cut you back. So do you have an obligation? And so what's your obligation to those people? Do you have one?
No. No, if you're going to come out the gate disrespecting me, I'm not obligated to reply. And I won't.
Okay. All right.
Now,
I get that.
Okay. If it's rude, it's still a rude or inconsiderate comment. If I see that there is room for, you know, education there, then I'll entertain it and I'll continue to ask questions. But like, remember when we were talking about the post the other day, there was no room for that. He just got so offended right out the gate and he just felt he had to challenge me on everything instead of, it's like, slow down and think about what I'm saying. But, you know, he was attacked. The question that I imposed attacked him. And so that's when we can recognize immediately when people are inferior. Their self-worth is lacking because they get hurt so easily when they assume there's a challenge there. When it's just an innocent question. Let's talk about it.
So, all right. So is there's still, because you're talking to a person like that, there's still instantly an implied social contract between the two of you that is not necessarily based on mutual benefit or reciprocity, either one of you. You know, that social contract exists and there's no benefit or reciprocity. You don't have to do anything other than the contract is there because the conversation was opened. So, you know, does that put the universe does that handicap the universe somehow?
Never. Mm-mm. No, remember, it's all good all the time. That's it. So when we're looking at the dust particles again and they're floating all around us, it's all good all the time. What makes it not good is us. We're the one that pushes it away. And so when we push love away, we suffer the consequence of the absence of love.
All right. But isn't there some ethics here somewhere?
Ethics?
Yeah, I mean, isn't there some kind of, I don't know. I mean, if there's.
You mean like an obligation with him?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can have musings. You're making, you know, you're doing musings about, I mean, we as a culture or as a species, we do moral musings about people that we like or don't like. Okay.
Okay.
And to the extent that we have a moral musing about someone that we don't like or that we think is out of line, that's becoming negative right away. That's negative.
Sure. Right.
Okay. So you are essentially lacing up a contractual relationship with this guy, and you're telling the universe, this guy's crazy. He's abusive. I don't like him. I'm going to send him bad juju just when by accident. Just by accident.
When, you mean he's sending it to me? What did I do?
Well, no, I think what I'm saying here, I think, is that because you're in exchange with this guy, you are participating in the negative energy by default.
All I did was ask a question, though.
But you're still engaged with this guy.
We have to engage with each other.
Right.
If we don't engage with anyone, we haven't learned a thing.
So is it, so is there a yin and yang in that conversation then?
How?
Is there, well, are you, in other words, if there's a lot of negative energy, is it, does the universe fall out of balance?
No. No. The universe is not out of balance ever. The universe is good all of the time. It's always in balance. It is the way. There is nothing greater. It's us. We don't know how to navigate our way through it. So every time we get challenged and we push back and we're rude to each other, we're pushing love away. I wasn't pushing love away by asking him a question. I was trying to engage him to, you know, get a healthy conversation out of the post. But instead he attacked me, which is the very thing that he, it's so contrary. It's the very thing that he's missing. You are attacking your brother. The Bible says, no, you're to love your brother. So why are you attacking me in this post when your very post is telling me to follow the Bible? You're missing the message, you know, in real time.
But I, if you take the universe as a bigger picture, you know, that can, you can end up being like Immanuel Kant, in that the outcomes are irrelevant to what you're doing. So there's no point in doing the right thing because it doesn't make any difference.
Mm-mm.
The universe is in total control all the time. And whether you and this guy do the right thing or the wrong thing, the universe doesn't care.
Yeah, but okay, so this is a perfect example of different ideas being twisted together and to form an argument. And it's, they don't relate. Okay,
are you talking about me not relating to your conversation?
No, I not my conversation, but your own argument. So it's not okay when we say that the universe is in control, okay?
Yeah.
And then that's twisted with you know, it doesn't matter what we do because the universe is in control all the time. No, that's twisted. You can't just rely on that going, ah, it doesn't matter. You know, it's already been written. No, we have to understand how these things are in alignment. Meaning that if God already wrote our story, right? It's a story of love. It's a love story. Okay. That love story is already planned for each one of us. And we have to follow love in order to live out the story. But if we don't, and we choose not to love every single day, then we are experiencing something else. So this is where the firmament comes in. So now all of everything we worry about, everything that we are putting out is reflected from the firmament back to us. So it's taking us off our path that was meant for us. This is the gift that we want, and it's taking us off of there. So we have to be able to navigate through every single moment of every single day, understanding that what I'm putting out is reflecting back. What is the goal? The goal is to stay on the path. I want the gift. I want my love story. I am the greatest love of my life. And I have to figure out how. It's by loving every day. So it does matter what we do. So the universe is in control because the firmament says, what do you want? And you're like, well, I want more bills and I want to be broke and I want to be, it's like, you got it.
That's, yeah. That's called, yeah, that would be called consequential ethics.
You know?
What if, all right, okay. So let's take an extreme example. Let's say that Hitler kills 8 million Jews and wins the war anyway, and the outcome, we end up with a very well-designed, perfect Germany. Where's the flaw in that argument, you think?
History. Who told the story? I really don't know. I can't really speak on it. But there's, you know, evidence to suggest that Hitler was not a bad guy and that it was another outbreak of these viruses that killed everyone and he was blamed for it. So I don't know. I wasn't there. I really don't know.
Well, what about Birkenau and all that stuff? I mean, I can understand you can step away from I wasn't there, but doesn't history have some weight in any of this stuff?
No.
Does the written history,
No.
the testimony? Why wouldn't testimony have value in that situation?
Because we can't testify. We can't, confirm nor deny. We don't
Well,
know.
somebody can testify. I
I know,
mean,
but how is it relevant though today? Right now, in this moment, how is that story, if it's true or false, relevant to me today? See, my own life, however many years I have, every single decade is a lifetime ago. And I remember some of my lives and I've forgotten a lot of them. I don't know. I don't know the details. And there's not a single person on this earth who can testify to where I came from and who I am. So it's all based on me, my memory, and what I think it is.
So
It's a.
nothing, so everything is in your head right now. I mean, it's in you are the body politic of yourself forever
Right.
and to infinity.
Right.
And anything in the codices of history doesn't really affect you one way or the other.
No, and
Because
that's
it's,
an. What? Go ahead, sorry.
well, go on, yeah. Because I mean, that's in other words, history doesn't apply. The past does not apply to the present in your
Right.
context.
So people would, I mean, they would disagree with that and say, no, what about all of your soul contracts, right? Soul contracts. You're carrying burdens that you know nothing about. And so you chose to be here during this time, to fight this battle and blah, 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 whatever the story is. It's like, can you put that down for a second? What, think about this critically. How enslaved we are to think that we are helpless against our soul contract, helpless against generations before me that were, that were in pain and suffered, and now I'm living it. That's all of that is more enslavement, and it takes away our power to do what's right today. It's nonsense. I don't believe it at all, because I know for a fact that. I don't remember lifetimes ago. I don't know all the dysfunction that, my mother and everyone before her had in their life. So if it's in my cells, in my memory, that's fine. It could be there, but I'm in control of me. I control what's in my cells. So if I want to release that pain, release those memories, and, flood my whole being with love, I have the power to do that. So I don't have to go back and know where I came from and all that trauma. It's ridiculous. Put it down. Cut the cord. This is about me right now, today, and what I can do. And the order is to love. And when I do that, I'm not suffering at all.
What about a phrase like history repeats itself? You just ignore that?
History. No. Again, everything that we've learned, history repeats itself. So we're going to look at my great grandmother and I'm going to say, well, I'm living through that. No. History repeats itself because I, Merrill Lee, have not learned my lesson. And so I'm going to repeat it again. So this is where the five gates come in. If I fail to recognize my player over and over again, then I'm going to experience the same heartache over and over again. If I don't know what's coming out of my mouth and I'm pushing love away, I'm going to experience the loss and the heartache of having no friends and no relationships and nobody calling me over and over again. So history does repeat itself because you didn't learn the lesson. So this is where
So,
the game comes in. I'm sorry, but the game comes in and gives us like a clue to who we are, and it's like, oh my gosh, I've been doing that this whole time. Right. Now stop. Stop doing that.
okay, intellectually, I can understand the worth of not being affected by history. I can understand the worth of that personally. because that way you're not going to carry any guilty accomplices forward to up your burn rate and pollute your life. I understand that. But I'm not sure how you get them, make them go away so routinely, so easy.
Make them who?
Disappear, like just not part of your life.
I know, but them who?
Well, just any moment of history, as time passes, I get that there's only the present, all right? There is only the present. There's no future and there's no past, excepting in your head. Or what's left over that's burning in the street. But that's still the present. You can only live in the present. And even if you and I were 3 feet of one another talking, we still wouldn't be in the present. We'd always be talking in the past. So I understand the science of it. But how do you get away from it? How do you get away from the history books become a clear thinking starseed kind of, you know, diamond of photon, become a pure photon? How do you do that? Are you
got to look out the windshield instead of the rearview mirror.
Yeah, of course.
It's really that easy. You know,
I'm drinking out of a cup, the Dalkins from Doctor Who. You ever watch Doctor Who? Okay, well, exterminate.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, okay.
So, okay. So all this stuff about history, right? People like to learn about things in the past, and then they equate it to what's happening here in the future, or in the present time rather, because we see repeating patterns. But those repeating patterns are parallel with the reproduction of humanity. Every time a child is born, it's a repeating pattern. So the pattern of the past becomes a pattern of the future. We can't get out of the cycle. We can't get out of the cycle because we're still holding the pain from what was, and it's being transferred over without a clarity for your direction out the windshield. Where are we going? There's no direction. We're trying to navigate looking out the rearview mirror in fear, going, oh my God, you know, I had heartache and they hurt me and they betrayed me, and, you know, and I have to watch out now and I can't trust anybody, and, you know, oh my God, the sky is falling because this is what happened, you know, centuries ago, and it's just happening, and you're scared. Boom, repeats it again. And the firmament is saying, yes, let's do it again until you figure it out. You can get out.
I'm looking at a library right now. I'm sitting in a library full of history books. Are they of no value to me?
Well, I don't have those history books, John, and they don't exist in my world. So all the things that were told in those books are not part of my life, of my history, my telling. They don't exist.
Don't you want to read Walter Isaacson on Benjamin Franklin? No?
No. Mm-mm. I don't. And it may seem a little disrespectful because, you know, people have come and go. Great people have come and gone. And we should know of them. Yes, it's true. But until you love yourself first and get yourself out of the loop that you're in, again, all those things are playgrounds. You know, you're just gathering data.
Okay, so let's just say that all these history books are the rearview mirror you're discussing earlier, which is one of your brilliant takedowns, always. I'll give you credit for that.
Okay.
But it sounds to me like in this argument that we're, or in this discussion that we're having, is that you don't have any basis to go forward. What is your basis?
I don't have any basis to go forward. Like I don't have a map out the window.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, there's no. I mean, how do you recognize the windshield if you have no concept of the rearview mirror of the rear?
Well, think about it, driving in the fog, right? You can't see. You can only see a few feet in front of you. That's it. That's as far as you can go. That keeps you in the present.
Yeah, but I've done that. I've been in a ship in the fog.
Okay.
I've been in a small boat in the fog, and I came up, I heard a foghorn go off, and I looked up and I saw what wasn't anything other than steel rivets going right past me because the
Yikes.
ship was huge. And I could have been,
Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't see it. I missed it. I missed it. You
So
know,
what saved you?
nothing other than just coincidence, I think. Just
No,
got
you're meant to
lucky.
be here with me.
I
It wasn't your time yet because your story was already written.
Yeah,
You
but
were
okay, but you believe that? You believe it? You believe it?
100%.
That it's already
100%.
written that everything is, I mean, like the tire tracks are the same as the wreck is going to happen no matter what. You can't do anything about it. You can't change. You can't
Well,
change.
no. It's just it's a divine orchestration. Okay. We talked about this before. Only you. I totally believe this. Only you were qualified to write this book. Only you. And so that day, when you're experiencing that, it was already orchestrated that I would need you later on in time to write this book. And so you were spared.
But that kind of puts the universe in a sort of a gelatin block of events. All the events are stuck in place. And what you and I are then are just traveling through the gelatin block.
No. Because all of us, obviously we have a spirit, we have things that we're doing, whatever our purpose is individually. But for me, in purposefully loving every day and loving harder, and we won't get into that, but for me, it's like an engine running all the time, and I'm attracting those things that I need to support the mission. And that will pull from everywhere. It doesn't matter. There's no time or space divide. It's just what do you need? This is what you need. So we're gonna pull it. We're gonna pull John Lacaze from that ship, and we're gonna put him over here. It's the law of attraction.
But you can't help but be pulling from history under that scenario.
Pulling from history. What do you mean?
Yeah, because I mean because I've existed for a period of time. When do you decide to pull me? Or is that a decision you make? No. I guess it's random. Is it random?
I didn't pull you. I didn't do that. It's completely random. I don't know because I didn't know of you. I didn't even know we would be here.
All right. I
That's the
think
whole,
that's
right? So that's the
what
gift. We don't know.
I'll agree on that. Yes,
Okay.
it was a coincidence of a certain kind, of a certain
Okay.
kind for sure.
Okay.
All right, so let's see, can we avoid some of your answers, like just no? Could we go something
I'll try to be
beyond?
better. Okay.
All right, so do you agree that the past and the future don't exist? You can only live in the present. Do you agree with that?
No. No, because
Because, and
it
you can't agree with that because you believe that everything is cast. There's a predisposition to events.
No,
That's
no, 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 no. Okay. This again, we're getting all twisted in the way we're thinking about these things. Everything is good all of the time. So it's infinite possibility. Anything could happen at any time. Okay. So when we say predispositioned, it means that there's a path of love. Okay. And on that path of love, everything is possible.
So you're
But
talking
it's
about probabilities and the probability.
right.
There's a probability of these events happening. Like there was a probability that you and I would meet.
Yes.
But that was not
Yes.
Okay, that's, but it's only a probability.
No, but look. Okay, let's go back to our rooms. If on the left side is the money room and the right side is heaven, right? It's love and faith and everything good. Everything that's good is over there.
All right.
And there's no walls. It's infinite. So all those possibilities come into play from you can pull from anywhere because you're playing with all of it. So depending on the individual desire for their own life, what they think about most of the time, the universe supplies, pulls from the infinite. So it's not already predestined. It's just you're picking from the garden to create your own life.
Well, one of the ways that you win arguments is by putting me in the smaller room all the
Because that small room doesn't serve us. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Because that room, that money room, think of it like a jail cell. It's hell. Jail is hell. That's what that is. It's a confinement of our possibility.
Well, I mean, it sounds to me like you're living in what we call divine command theory. Everything is a command of the divine in some way. I'm living in probabilities. So somewhere we mix the two of divine command into probabilities to make sure that the eight ball goes in the corner pocket. There is that a fair commingling of reality, do you think?
Well, your intention comes in,
So
right?
I
You have
can,
absolutely.
okay. So my intention then is, I can influence the eight ball to go in the corner pocket or not, even though there's divine command and the pocket's there. By my free will, I can change the trajectory of the ball.
Right, but it just it, even in this example, we're understanding that you can and the universe can. Okay, that's where we're going wrong. The universe isn't, you are the universe.
Okay, but what, well, what about, okay, so let's go back to divine command then. What about immoral acts? You know,
Yeah, you're
if,
serving the wrong room.
oh, back in the left again, back in the money room.
That's right.
So if you're in the right room, the infinite room, perfection is replete. It's all there. It's always perfect.
Right.
It's always
It's always
happy. It's
perfect.
always wonderful.
Right. And who doesn't want that?
Well, I mean, it's could be kind of boring, actually.
No, it's never boring. No. Because it's the beautiful and perfect unknown. You don't know what's coming. And remember, the closer it gets to you and then you can see it, that's not it. There's more. And that's why it's so exciting. That's what keeps you motivated because you want the more. What else is there? What else could there possibly be? What could top this? I mean, I asked myself that with your book. What could top this? I love it. And what could be better? I have no idea. But I'm going to stay on the path and then I'll find out.
Yeah. Well, you'll probably bump into Walter Isaacson to get a better book, but I thank you for the privilege and for the compliment, that's for sure. I
Oh, it's phenomenal, John. You know it is.
well, it's hard for me to say that. I mean, it's, you know, it's, how do you do? My name
It's
is perfect. You know, I don't know.
it's phenomenal. It's for humanity, and we need something that's going to give us hope and inspire us to do better
Is,
and
well,
give us clarity.
I think you and your person do that, but I mean, I keep going back to tried and true. You know, what is it about our past that's tried and true and works? And there's things in our everyday life that are just meant to be tried and true. How to put a dog collar on, how to feed the dog, how to walk the dog, you know, how to catch the bird, how to whatever, how to, is all past experience. It's
Learn.
all. has learned, all right, but you still captured. It's captured and usable. And doesn't
Sure.
history fall in that class? Isn't that
Well,
all part of history?
yeah, I guess so. If you want to look at it that way, yeah. But I'm not looking at history as I'm putting it in a book. I'm just looking at new information in my cells. I'm holding new information now. And what information I don't have, it is history. It's out there. Like that's why there's nothing new under the sun. It's already there. You just don't have access to it yet.
So, in your brightest moment, then, the objection to be put down would be that you by elevating yourself mentally and physically and mentally, but primarily just spiritually, by doing that elevation, by practicing the elevation, which many people try to do, some people would call them monks and whatever they are. You highlight, you elevate yourself. Elevation is a word, I guess, by going higher, increasing the view, being better, whatever it is. And that becomes the right way as opposed to the wrong way, which is to carry the slag. The history,
Which,
which is how we started this thing, that was about my take on
right. So
history.
history is written in the Bible. If we go back to Adam and Eve, okay, that's history. Whether we choose to believe it or not believe it, it's been written, right?
But your argument says that none of that counts. The Bible essentially is a useless piece
I didn't, no, I didn't
script.
say that. No,
Well, it's
I
all
didn't
history.
say that.
It's a history book.
No, but what you're doing is you're putting an umbrella over history instead of just looking at the example that I'm making. So the example is if we're going to go back in history and we go back to the Bible, back to the Garden of Eden, then we understand that we took a bite from the tree of good and evil, right? So good is the right room and evil is the left room. We wanted to know more, and so we focus on knowing more. So we read these books on history to know more, to gather information. So we're full of information, but we're never full of the answer. We're still not choosing love. That was good. It's always good all of the time.
So you're giving the history books a certain amount of value then. You
No,
are.
I'm just I'm okay, but I'm using okay. It is has value in the sense that I'm using it as my example because I'm bringing it right now to this moment in time today. It's the same, it never changed. We either choose good and stay there, or we serve the other side. You're taking a bite of that apple every single day.
Well, your argument has merit in physics, for sure. It really does. But for all people that have degrees in history, I just feel sorry for you at this point.
You know why? Because it's not the answer. All the degrees in anything. You get a degree in business, you get a degree in psychology, in history. It's not the answer. These are playgrounds. They entertain us, but they're not the answer to our being, to our well-being, to our happiness. That's
Okay.
why it's
Yeah.
so important to focus on, me. What am I doing right now? What choice am I making right now? Let me apply the answer. Let me pass the test right now. And as long as I'm doing that, then I'm free to dabble in all these other playgrounds and increase my knowledge and understand that when I'm playing in the other room, if I'm challenged, I better get my ass over to the right room real fast. That's how you overcome.
So you're willing to play in the left room, then, are you? Would you say,
I'm,
do you, what do you say
you
to,
can play.
you
You can
said?
play because what we're doing is we're entertaining the 3D world. okay, we got to go out, mingle with people, and apparently we have to make money, and we have to function. But in that functioning, you have to understand that you're in it, but you're not of it.
So in the three, so in the left room, the 3D room, you're always kind of walking around as a straw man. You only become whole when you walk into the right room and it becomes infinite. Aren't you bullshitting the universe when you do that?
There's no bullshit in the universe. You're either it or you're not.
But you're in the, but you're walking in the left room, knowing that you're in a playground. You know, you're knowing you're there.
Right? Absolutely. But I'm not subject to it. I know that there's an answer to whatever it is down there that's ugly, evil, not of my well-being. All of that stuff. However scary it is, all those challenges, there is a remedy. And we don't know the remedy when we don't know love. It doesn't come to us. But when you focus on love, the remedy is provided. And it looks like money. It looks like people. It looks like opportunity, knowledge, the right book. The remedy comes to us. And you have to have faith. So if you don't have the answer to your problem in this moment, you don't need it. Stop worrying about it. When you need it, it'll be provided.
Well, I, of course you have to believe that. I mean, if I am if I'm a child, if I'm a young, if I'm a person standing alongside the road, and there's a sign on top of me that says, or in front of me that says soft shoulder, and there's a man sitting in a bench in front of me, depending on my experience, I can either walk up and touch his shoulder to see if it's soft, or I can know that the shoulder of the road is soft.
Okay.
All right. Seems to me that when you're playing in either room, you're still subject to that problem of history.
The
You have,
soft shoulder.
yeah, the soft shoulder, because is it the man's shoulder soft, or is the road soft? Without experience, how do you know that?
Ask a question. What shoulder are we talking about?
Well, who are you going to ask?
Well, there's a man there. What can I ask him?
I walked up and touched his shoulder because I assumed that the soft shoulder meant his shoulder was soft.
Wait, that's just it. You assumed. We don't have to assume anything. We could just stand in place, read the sign, and think of the two options, and then ask a question.
So I could ignore the whole road thing and just touch his shoulder and ask him when he got his shoulder fixed.
But you're imposing. You're
Well,
making
yeah.
an assumption, right, that it's him that the sign is pertaining to, and then you're imposing your physical sense onto his physical without invitation. We can't do that. We have to just read the sign and think of the two options, and if we're confused and there's a man there, to say, excuse me, is it your shoulder that's soft or is it the road? And he might chuckle and say, no. I'm old, but it's the road. And then you keep going.
So is that process then? Is that the singleness of purpose in the clean approach to getting through life?
It's honor. That's what honor is to understand that I'm not to impose my will onto another, assuming that I can.
Do you believe in
I need.
loopholes? Do you believe in loopholes?
With what? Like, give me one.
Well, the loophole would be just getting, to a quicker answer. Occam's razor, How can you, would you take advantage of a quicker solution if it meant something, I don't know.
A quicker solution without knowing, okay, would be like, I'm looking in the rearview mirror again, and history tells me that this has already happened. So I'm going to make the assumption that this is true now without looking out the window.
Right.
I'm not looking out ahead. I'm just assuming from what has already happened that it's going to occur again. And that's where we make our mistake. We can't be making assumptions. Look out the windshield. The circumstances are different.
Well, okay.
It's almost like we don't trust what's in front of us, and we have to revert back to what we think we know.
But I just see one rabbit hole after another here.
Yeah,
Unless you,
how?
well, unless you stay in the right room.
Yeah.
Because
Yeah.
your mind can construct a circumstance in multiple ways. And so you're always subject to your mind's construct of what's going on. You just can't get away from it. How do you?
Right. So if my knee-jerk reaction is to live in fear, then I'm going to see everything fearfully. Instead of looking at the positive of what could go right,
Don't you
that
see your
what.
life? Can't you see your life metaphorically in other domains? Just based on your history, based on your existence through time. If you're 40 years old, you have a 40-year history, right?
Okay.
All right. So,
A history, okay.
okay, and your life for 40 years becomes a metaphor in your brain. You
Okay.
know, like you could say, if I walk like a duck, I'm not a duck. I know that. But there's a duck. Doesn't all that become part of your thing?
Yeah, that's where your limiting beliefs get formed.
Limiting
So,
belief. Okay. But
yeah,
it's
limiting belief
all
about
right, but
yourself, right?
you're still feeding your brain. You're still feeding your hive brain.
But the world teaches us to feed our brain fearful outcomes. So if we're in the car and we've experienced in the rearview mirror that when we cross an intersection, the car will be hit. We avoid intersections because we're afraid of going through it because we already know that in the past this has happened.
Yeah, but that's the standard distribution curve of probabilities. You know, there's a low probability. That's a tail of a probability that there is a probability of you being hit, but it's not high probability. It's a very low probability. So you go ahead and don't you, I mean, you make the determination.
Yeah, but that's irrelevant rationale.
Why is
Okay,
it? No,
because
it's totally wrong.
yeah, no,
No, yes,
because
no.
I said no again. I say it's irrelevant rationale because we're not talking about science and probability. We're talking about how we formulate our thoughts. Our neural pathways have already dug in a big groove into what we think we know. We already know that if I go through this intersection, this is what's going to happen. It's what I
No,
believe.
you
No, it's
believe
what I believe, though.
it's what you believe, but it's still you're still believing in probabilities. The
Okay,
odds are if
but
there's
they're
no
okay.
traffic in the intersection, you have a low probability of getting hurt, so you go through it.
But that's logic.
What's wrong with that?
We don't operate by logic. We operate from the rearview mirror. And so we formulate our limitations. And so we avoid the intersection. And pretty soon we're avoiding so many things, and our world becomes very small. And we don't even understand all the limiting beliefs we have about ourselves.
Okay, so if you're driving the car and you're looking out the front windshield, okay, I'm in the back seat looking out the back,
Okay.
all right, and you're driving, and as I see stuff go by, I notice that you're getting close to the shoulder,
Yeah.
and I say, Marilee, you're too close to the right shoulder. What do you do?
I'm going to tell you, John, I saw it first. You're late.
We have to stop this conversation, I think.
Oh, God. No, but we can go on forever. Oh, I love you.
I love you too.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.